Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you continue to give us and the blessings that you throw down upon us. In light of things that happened last night, we're just so thankful to just even have life and just have people out there who protect us, you and your many angels that you have. And God, we just thank you so much for your Son as he continues to work through his Holy Spirit and he continues to be present amongst the people in this place, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. Pretty crazy day yesterday, hey? I guess there was that kind of scary terrorist type thing that occurred in Edmonton. And that is eye-opening right there, because we were right downtown when that was going on, and we didn't even know it was just happening. And unfortunately, four people, I believe it was, was hit by a vehicle in the attack, and an officer was stabbed. So when you get home and you start reading about that, you're like, whoa, what could have happened kind of thing, right? And you're just so thankful to just be safe and have life, because it could have been a whole lot worse. So I just pray for those people that were impacted by whatever happened yesterday. I don't know the condition of the people who were hit by the motor vehicle, but they were struck. So keep them in your prayers as you continue on. It was a fun day. Other than that, like I was able to go watch the Eskimos game, first time at Commonwealth, and it was awesome to watch them lose. As a Calgary man, I am not used to watching a Winnipeg team win, so I was like, "Whoa, that can actually happen! I didn't know that. That's great." So, as I've said earlier, I end up in a lot of weird conversations and just people randomly talking to me sometime. And it happens as I'm shopping, especially when I'm shopping in Calgary, kind of near where I live. And one time I'm looking for baseball cleats because I had absolutely just destroyed mine in a tournament earlier for slow pitch. And I was like, oh, I need to get some baseball cleats. So I walk into a shoe store, and the guy greets me right away, super friendly, and he's like, "Hey, Brad, what's going on?" And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, uh-oh, this guy knows me by name, and he seems excited to see me. Interesting, I don't know him. He is unknown to me. I don't recognize his face. I have no idea what's going on. So what can I do in that moment, right? I could play along with it, or I could just be like, I'm sorry, I forget your name, kind of thing. I'm the guy that tends to play along with it. So I start playing along with them. I'm like, "Hey, man, what's going on? How are you doing?" And he just starts going off, because I'm trying to get clues as to who this person is, and he's not giving me anything. He's just telling me, like, "I'm good, man. I'm so excited to see you. This has been a long time." And I'm like, clearly, it's been a long time. And I'm like, I came for baseball shoes, so, you know, if you can show me where some really cool ones are, that'd be great. And he's like, "Hey, no problem." And as he's helping me out, he's still just kind of rambling on about just random things and giving me no clues as to who he is. And when it comes to time, I kind of look at the price of the cleats, and I'm like, they're pretty expensive, so maybe I'll go with the cheaper brand. He's like, no. You get these ones, and I'll give you my employee discount. I'm like, oh, were we that good of friends? Like, what's going on here? So he ends up giving me 75% off of the shoes that I'm buying, and I'm like, great. This super nice guy that I don't even know / remember is giving me this massive discount. It's just unbelievable. And I'm just one of those people that, unfortunately, when I don't know anything, I don't seek hard enough for the information. I should have been like, "What's your name?" I never figured out his name. To this day, I still have no idea who that guy was. I just know I got an amazing deal that day. It's unreal. Let's turn to John chapter 1, and as we're going to continue on here, We're gonna see that as Jesus appears to people in his time, he was unknown. He was an unknown person. He was unknown to his own people. That is pretty intense. Nobody bothered to try and figure out who he was. He was just unknown. Once again, as we start off in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
I'll just grab one of these, Dave.
Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. There's a story about how a king back in the day kind of had to go to war at one point in time. And in order to go to battle, usually the king kind of went with his army back then. It's not like today if like the prime minister or president got into a war, they kind of stay in their safe little White House or whatever it is, House of Commons. They actually went to war. So this king went off to battle, and in his place, he left a bunch of servants in charge. He's like, yeah, I trust you guys. You're my servants. You're gonna carry on. And for years, these servants watched over because that's how long the war took. However, these servants were corrupt, and they were just brutal. And for years, they just did the wrong thing. And when the king finally came back from battle, he was unrecognized and unknown. And in the same way, that's how Jesus comes to this earth. He's just unknown and unrecognized. He's a man. He created. He was a part of the creation that we have on this earth. And he's just completely unknown to the people around him, as it says in John here. The world did not recognize him. Being at the game last night, you know, you hear a lot of colorful language, and it's just mind-blowing. And you think about things, and you're like, man, the world just doesn't recognize Jesus even to this day, but they sure like to use his name a whole lot. They even put holy in front of it, or they just, like, throw it down, and you're like, wow, that is unbelievable. I feel like turn around half the time and be like, amen, preach it. I totally feel that Jesus is holy as well. But I know that's not the way they're presenting it. And it's just like, man, Jesus is so unknown, but he's used on everybody's lips. That is unreal. This world continues to reject him, and they do it specifically because they have a hard time letting go of sin. You see, there's a few reasons why people can't do it. A, some people just don't want to do it because they're so caught up and in love and enamored by the sin that they're caught up in. And B, because some of them are actually blind. They're spiritually blind and they can't figure it out. I kind of think of just some incidents that have occurred in the past as to how people just get so caught up in sin and such. That they completely ignore Jesus. Sometimes people attach their spiritual relationship literally to the pastor or the worship person. I'm reminded of a worship leader from Hillsong who, at one point in time was going through a cancer battle. And so he's up on stage, he's the singer. Hillsong's the, you know, that band that likes to sing a lot and do their thing, and I call it the Beautiful People College, because if you ever watch their music video, they're all like really beautiful looking people. And so he's up on stage and he's giving his heart out, and he's got the oxygen tank attached to him. But it turns out he was faking cancer. And he was just addicted to pornography, and that was his way of hiding it. And as I read some of the comments on the videos that are attached to it, it all says, this pastor ruined my faith. This pastor did this. And the spiritual attachment is not to Jesus. Jesus is unknown to them. It's the known pastor, the one that is easily can easily mess up. That's who they attach to. That's sometimes what happens, and it cheapens what Christ has done on this earth. It makes it so it's not about him. It makes it so it's about the person up front. I'll tell you right now, it's not about me. I make so many mistakes, it's crazy. I mess up with my wife, and I make her mad some days. I'm rude to her sometimes. I get snarky with my kids. Don't attach anything to the leader up front. It's all about Jesus in the end. He's the unknown Savior, the one who shines brightly, yet people walk away from him. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, why did the world not recognize Jesus for who he was? Why does the world not recognize him today? And it's just heartbreaking when you break it down and people didn't want to know. And I can't help but be reminded about some of like the terrorist activity that occurs and how people literally back groups that are terrorist groups because they don't know. They're just trying to be humanitarians, and they feel like it's the right thing to do. Instead, they don't see the truth. They don't see Jesus. They don't want to see him, and they will not see him. See, some people just hate the light. They want nothing to do with it. Sometimes we make it so it's very unattractive and unappealing. I know I've made those mistakes. So the thing is how do we get people to see that Jesus needs to be known? How do we get them to see that he needs to be a part of their world? Christmas time is one of my favorite time of years. And you know, it's one of those times a year that everyone's like, yay, Christmas, here comes presents, family time, and friends. And as I think about it, the first rejection actually occurred on the first Christmas of Jesus. First rejection and push away. Reading in Matthew and Luke 2, what you see is that people are literally closing the doors on him. We have the innkeeper kind of being like, yeah, we have no room at the inn. There's a barn out back. Why don't you go have your child back there? The Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, is sent to be born in a disgusting barn. Whew. That's unbelievable. Then we have Herod, who out of hatred for who Jesus already is, trying to kill him. It's a baby. He doesn't even know who he is, and he's trying to kill him. It's unbelievable. Yet Jesus still comes and is the light for us. He was rejected as a choice of the people, and they wanted nothing to do with him as they picked a murderer to die on the cross before Jesus. They picked Jesus to die on the cross before a murder. In John 3:19, it says this, and in this is the judgment that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The deeds were evil. People turn so hard into their flesh that they ignore them or want nothing to do with them. And I just think about stuff like that, and I'm like, once again, what kind of light are we giving off? Do we give off a light that it's fun to follow Jesus, or do we give one that's legalistic and it's like caught up and ensnared in rules and regulations? Do we make it appear as though it's an awesome thing to be doing what we're doing as we pursue Jesus? I think of the youth that I've had conversations with, and some of them are like, oh, yeah, my friends say it's uncool to be a Christian. And it's like, really? What makes it so uncool? Why is it such a bad thing to be following Jesus and just trying to follow in his footsteps? Is it because we turned it into rules and regulations, hymns versus choruses? What has it become that all of a sudden it is seen as wrong? Part of it is the fact that some people are just so caught up in their sin and loving it so much. He was hated because he was light, Jesus. He comes in the dark. And people just hate that. They love to be in the dark, some of them. When I think about the blindness of people, some of them are just spiritually blind and they don't understand what they're doing. And so, as we see in John 10 and 11 there, some of them are just clueless and blind. They didn't know. They're ignorant. For lack of a better term. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That's pretty powerful stuff as we look at it. So the fact is that people are literally blind. If I look at examples, we can look at Pharaoh as his heart was hardened to releasing the people of Israel when Moses is trying to get them to go into the wilderness. It just wasn't happening, and some people are just blind and spiritually blind. And that's where we need the support of God. We need him to lift us up. We need him to reach down and pick us up. He is the one that we need to lean on during those times. Because we come into contact with blind people, yet we want him to know the light. We can't do that on our own. We need his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is the one that is going to shine brightly through us. See, God gives us this thing called grace. Is anyone familiar with the term grace? It's actually a pretty cool concept. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 has it labeled out really nicely. And what grace is this idea that I get rewarded for doing nothing. What? That is so cool. That is so cool. So I'm getting like my blinders taken off in a sense, and I haven't done anything. God's just doing it through his grace, through his love for us. And it's so fantastic to just think about that. As I'm sitting around with the crowd at the Eskimo Stadium, and there's some rowdy fans there, I was just thinking about how awesome it is to have God's grace. Because I could be one of those people if he didn't give me that grace, where I'm cussing and swearing and carrying on and having the cops escort me out. There's this old tale about this guy named Dr. Barnhouse during World War II. Now, here's a crazy time, World War II. He had to preach in the evening at dark. Why? Because he probably would have been killed or thrown in a camp if you're a cop preaching the word. So there he is. He's at night preaching away to these people in kind of this house. And someone accidentally leans against the lights and turns on all the lights. That's got to be scary. A gathering of people, all of a sudden the lights come on with the Gestapo cruising around the neighborhood. He freezes and stops his speech. There's one man at the front who's like, he goes into an extreme panic, and he's like, "Whoa, what's going on? What's happening?" And the guy next to him literally has to say, "The lights were turned on," because he was blind, and he could not see. We have to help people to see at times. We have to let them know that there is a light. 1 Peter 2 and 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And that goes back to the fact of what I was preaching last week, that we're witnesses. We are miniature little lights that cruise around and be witnesses for people and reveal that they're living in spiritual blindness. When I reflect on a lot of this, the thing that I always turn back to is the fact that God was the one that initially started pursuing us. Do you know the first question that God asks a man in the Bible is, "Where are you?"
If you turn to Genesis 3, 8, and 9, what you read is the man is hiding after kind of consuming said fruit. And this is what happens. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you?" And that same call still rings out to us today as he cries out to the people around us saying, "Where are you?" And we're so caught up at times in our sin and our shame, and we get caught up in the cycle of sin, as it's called, that we can't see God. We don't want to see him sometimes. How much does God love us? He sends his son, Jesus Christ, in order that our relationship may be restored with him. And then, when Christ is killed, he leaves behind the advocate, the Holy Spirit. That's how much Jesus loves us. That's how much he wants to make himself known. He leaves behind evidences that point to him all the time. The really crazy part is that there's so much evidence provided within our scriptures, especially if you read through the prophets, that it's hard to see how someone could possibly be rejecting him. If you're of Jewish descent, especially at that time, how do you possibly reject him? You're prepared for a Messiah. You're prepared for someone to come. Messiah, that means anointed one. It's just a term. And it just means Jesus is the one that is called for and kind of predicted that he's coming. People like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Micah, and Amos all called for Jesus to come, pointing towards the fact that this person should be known. Yet when it came down to it, he was still so unknown. The message was so very clear that Jesus was this Messiah that they're waiting for. Unfortunately, their mindsets are like of human mindsets, and they were blinded because they were expecting what? The Messiah to be some sort of fantastic warrior who was going to go in there and chop everybody to pieces and take over the promised land all over again, so Israel would be a dominant nation yet again. But that's not how it went. And instead, excuses started rolling through the Pharisees' minds and some of the Jewish leaders. And that's something that we're very familiar with, is this idea of excuses and started making excuses as to why we're not doing something, as to why we're not living a certain way, as to why we continue to leave Jesus unknown. Maybe as to why to even be a witness. And God just keeps saying, "Let me be known. Where are you?" See, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus is divine, 100% divine. And he's 100% human. And he came to this world for very, very specific reasons. When I look at Jesus as a person, and as we reflect through John, what we see is that he's the Word, he's the light, he's the life. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one. He came for each and every one of us. He came to this earth because they knew there was a huge gap of sin that's preventing us being a part of God's kingdom. And Jesus is there as a sacrifice, an atonement for our sins. When with the Israelites, there was this, just before Jesus came, their whole nation was pretty much wiped out. First the Persians came and attacked them. Then the Babylonians, which absolutely annihilated them. And then finally the Romans, as they continued to just persecute
the peoples of Israel. But once again, this is something that God said was going to happen. He said, if you cannot be faithful to me, fine. There will be punishment for what is happening. But he said in that punishment, he was going to send someone. And that person is Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the promises that God made through the prophets. And if you want to know what a prophet is, they're a man or woman who declares the word of the Lord. A lot of us see them as some sort of seers or like future kind of people, right? Like they got some sort of crystal ball that they're making these predictions from. But that's not necessarily the truth. Not everything is pointed towards the future when it comes with prophets. Sometimes it's actually talking about what's happening at that point in time. And sometimes it talks about the past. It's just the word of the Lord from the prophets. And so as prophets are proclaiming the fact that this Messiah was coming, this lamb that was going to be the sacrifice, the one who we could kind of pin everything upon, came so that we may be healed for all times. He came so that our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies could literally experience healing. And that's the really cool part. That still is available for us today. When we read through Isaiah 53 and how by his stripes we are healed, we need to take that as literal and see that there's still healing for our physical and spiritual bodies available to us today. Jesus has made himself very well known, and he makes himself known today through our body of believers, and he makes himself known through his word. One thing that I've challenged myself with lately is kind of going through the books of the Bible that I don't know as well. So I'm cruising through Isaiah right now. Ironic, I know, right? Like I named my son Isaiah, but I don't know the book that well. And so I'm tracking through it right now just to be like, all right, let's get to know Jesus. Because when we get to know our word, we get to know Jesus. We can then be the witnesses and the light that the world needs. His Holy Spirit in us can activate us and just make sure that people know that there is a light. So they're not just throwing out curses and cuss in his name, but it becomes one of praise and worship. What an amazing world that would be if everybody in Commonwealth Stadium, rather than yelling about how jerky the refs are, and using the name in such a poor way, we're doing it in praise and worship and saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe in you, I know you. We need to work together to make him known. We need to ask those questions, not be like me at the shoe store and kind of cruising along and going with the motions, but have courage to be like, Jesus, I want to get to know you, and then I want people to get to know you as well. And make it kind of like an addiction, because when people see joy and true happiness, guess what? It's contagious. So is being upset and angry. If I were to yell at somebody in here right now, they would probably get angry right back at me. But if I express joy and excitement and happiness, people are going to jump all over that and be like, I want a piece of that. What is it? What do you know that I don't? Right? And that's the question they're going to ask. What do you know that I don't? It's just like, I know Jesus. That's what it comes down to, plain and simple. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing great. But I know Jesus. And that's what makes me special and great. Through his grace, through his love. Nothing else. And we are made pure again through the blood of Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, and becoming a new creation in him. The most exciting time for me, and like, I want to throw parties when people come to know Jesus, right? Like, that's just me. I'm like, let's have a pizza party. I used to do that with my youth group.
When I found out one of them came to Jesus, I'm like, let's do this. We're having a party. This is exciting. When they finally realize that they need Jesus, that they need him in their lives, it's huge. They know that they're missing something, they're lacking something, and the only substitution or something that could fill that is actually Jesus. But the world always thinks that there's something else. And like I say, they find those excuses. I'm telling you right now, excuses are just the worst. I'm full of a lot of them. They get you nowhere. One thing that I know is that I like to know about everything. I'm one of those guys that, like, when I don't know the answer to the question, I'm researching it and looking it up. I want to figure it out. That's who I am as a person. I'm ashamed sometimes when I don't know things. And I feel like a lot of people are actually built that way, and they're very, very, very similar to that. People just want to know. They're looking to know. What is it they need to know, though? And as I said, it's about Jesus. And as I close today, I'm gonna get the worship team to start heading up here. Go for it. I just want to say, Jesus needs to be so well known. We need to be making sure that this church is a beacon and a light for those who need to know him. We need to welcome people with open arms, and when they come to Jesus, celebrate it. It's a joyous moment. It's not something to be upset about or down about, but to celebrate Jesus, our Lord. Don't let sin be a gap for us anymore. Jesus, I thank you for today and just for your word. And I just pray for healing in the body. I know I'm sick, and I know some people are actually really sick in this congregation. And so I just pray for your hand upon them and to heal them completely. And as we head out into this work week, I just pray that we desire to know you more, Jesus. We desire to open the text and pursue your word. And let us just be people who attach ourselves to you and stop being spiritually blind, Lord. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name.